going on, guys? This is another splendiferous or spectacular or just mediocre episode of the By the Way podcast. This is MLR episode 2, as I'm recording this in my man cave slash bedroom here in northern New Jersey. Yeah. Oh, I got Mastodon. I'm kicking it to Mastodon to start this show. How freaking awesome is that? Just let's listen for a second. Hold on. Yeah, that's right. I kind of don't want to pause it, but I should at some point, like now, so I can actually start doing my thing, you know, just talking to you people. You know, because if there's one thing that I don't do a lot or enough of, it's talking. You know, I'm not known for talking a lot at all, right, guys? I mean, you know, it's been mentioned on the Cousin Joe show and probably any other show that I've been on for a long enough amount of time that I talk quite a bit, you know, just, you know, a couple of things here and there, you know, just me blapping my gums. I've got a few things to talk about. There's more than likely going to be an interview attached at the end of this show. But, you know, right now it is Friday night at about almost 9 o'clock as you're hearing this first half of the show. Who knows when the second half's going to be. Probably some later tonight when who I have planned to call, hopefully talk to for this show comes in. You know, it might happen. We'll see. But a couple of things to review. First off, I had my my Tierney show last week. It was my first one, you know, second one since returning to comedy. And Tierney's is always a good room for me to do. It's always warm crowds, you know. It's like, it makes up for a lot of the BS from the open mics, you know, just the silent dead eyes of the comics who are there that most comics have to deal with. And then you've got to get too inside to even get any reaction, unless you want to just say fuck it and just record your, you know, just not record. I recorded open mics, but that's for more for my reference to watch myself to see where I fucked up lines and stuff. But like, it's always good, like when you have a show after about a week of just eating it at open mics, because let's face it, there are very few comics who don't eat it at open mics. Most of them get reactions they get when they get new material, or when they're just going inside and just going after each other because we're just all ball-busting dicks. And we don't mind getting our balls busted as long as it's funny. But anyway, the Tierney's room is always good to me. I mean, very fun room. Pat, who runs it, is great. One of the nicest bookers, along with James from the Comedy Shop. And fortunately, they're two bookers who, you know, always exchange pleasantries. And they're actually like, you know, they actually speak well of each other. So it's not like one of those things where you go to one and the one's like, oh, you know, that one sucks, you know, fuck that one sucks, and the other one's saying the same thing. No, this is one where they're actually, you know, very cordial to each other, and they're both speak highly of each other. So that's good, you know, and I think because of my work with James in the Comedy Shop, I guess I was given a little more to do than just my set at the Tierney show. Like, I'm trying to learn how to MC, so I wasn't MCing this one, but I was actually given the pre-show, which kind of, you know, you kind of get to interact with the crowd a bit. Well, basically what the pre-show is it's a kind of like a speech that's said before you bring up the host of a show. For those of you who've been to a comedy show at either the Tierney's or the Comedy Shop, there'll be one comic who's not the host, who is either on the card sometimes or not on the card sometimes, and they come up. They go over the guidelines of the night, and that's the rules and just kind of a quick description of what's going on. And then they bring up the host. That's what I did, which was pretty cool. And then, you know, I collected tickets for their raffle. They do a raffle every week. So Tim Hayes was the host of the show. And then we also had, Sharon Simon headlining, who, if you guys listened to my show last week, Mersh made a little mention of her. And then there was this comic, Ritu Chandra was one of the ones on there. This guy, Amir Orbison, this other comic, Alan Scott. Amir and Alan Scott I hadn't met before. Alan Scott, I had to resist the urge to make references to Green Lantern comics when I asked him about that. So, you know, there was that, and not only that, but, you know, then there was this comedian, Helene Witt, who also performed, and Ray Brito is a very funny dude, very, very funny comic, who, you know, he's one of those guys, I'm not sure how long he's been doing it, but he is the best at working a crowd, and he's one of those guys who's got the gift of gab when it comes to, like, interacting with people, like, in general. So, like, that's the cool thing. Like, I like doing shows and open mics with him because he's usually a very good time. So the one thing, though, this is something that I've never done before at a Tierney show. I went up right before the headliner. That is not, that's the first time I've done that. I think it was because, like, I was one of the more, as far as that room's concerned, I was one of the more experienced comics there. So Pat just kind of put me up there to kind of go, to, you know, kind of be the one before the headliner, which is, for those who don't know, that's huge. That is awesome to be able to do. And I got to do 10 minutes, and I did well. It was a very good set. And this time, unlike the Slaughter stand-up Halloween show, where I forgot to clear my SD card before going to New York that day, I actually remembered to clear my SD card before the show, so the whole thing recorded. Go me, guys! I really do wish that Halloween show had recorded as well. That would have been two really good shows to potentially, maybe, possibly put on YouTube. So, here's the thing, though. I'll get to recording in a second, but one thing I do want to point out, one of the comics on there, I'm not going to say who, I will say it was one of the male comics, because it was mostly male comics, he was doing his shtick, and one thing about Tierney's that is always, that it's an unwritten rule, well, it's a rule, almost, is you don't have to be clean, but they say keep it classy, and what that means is don't go overboard with it. Like, and when you get overboard with it, it gets to the point where it's not funny. There was a comic, younger guy, you could tell he mostly worked college rooms, but he did a couple jokes that already had kind of not set well with Pat, who runs it, and what didn't really hit with the crowd. And I think had he been doing well with the crowd, he would have probably been kept up there, but he wasn't doing, like, some of the jokes were hitting with the crowd, but the ones in particular, he lost the crowd with them. And then he had a line, like a blowjob and cocaine joke. And listen, like, dude, very funny in an alt room. I'll point that out. He would be very funny and very go over very well in an alt room, or like the UCB type rooms. But he just, like, this is not the type of room for someone like him, or at least that not the crowd that was there that night. If it was like college age, the crowds, then he probably would have went over a lot better than he did at this show. But this is the first time I've ever seen someone get their set cut short. So his set got cut short. And then a good friend of mine, Rob Eppel, was actually put up there that night to do a couple of minutes to kind of, because the way they run it, like, Pat has it timed, and because his set was cut short, she brought up Rob Eppel to do a few minutes to kind of get the balance back. So, the next couple comics go, Ray Burrito closes out, and then they do the free stuff raffle, and then Ritu goes up, then I go up, and Sharon goes up. Sharon Simon was actually pretty funny. Pretty much all the comics were. I mean, there was only that one guy who got his set cut short, but aside from that, I mean, it went over pretty much without a hitch. Now, I do want to bring up something here, and that is, I mentioned earlier about the whole thing with taping my sets. I tape pretty much every set that I do, open mic, show, unless my camera goes shitty, or unless I'm in the city and I'm like, you know what, do I really need to tape this? Then I don't. But here's the thing. I posted Tierney shows on YouTube for the longest time. But here's the thing. I'm debating not doing it anymore. Like, here, because the reason I would post up YouTube videos of the Tierney shows was because not every person that listens to my shows who wants to see me do comedy is from the area that I live in and the area that I do shows in. So I kind of would put them up as a courtesy to, like, listeners in different areas or friends who don't live by me. So, like, and if I do post this Tierney set, this is going to be why I post that Tierney set, for those people. But here's the thing. Like, I've realized the more I keep posting videos of more recent sets, the harder it is to get people to go to my shows. Now, of course, I wasn't very good at promoting these last couple shows that I've done. I've been kind of competing with myself a little bit here and there. So maybe I should have reminded people. Like, there's a friend of mine. She always goes to my Tierney shows. I thought I had told her. I didn't. But, you know, she probably would have went had I mentioned something about it. But I don't know. Like, you know, and... like, and there's people that I could bring that would go, but I just don't. Like, I don't want to, like, I want to keep my family life and my comedy life separate for now. Those aren't the shows where I start breaking them out. I'm not polished enough to make them. They most of them barely have money. So why would I make them spend the money to go to a show early in my career? I'd rather wait until I'm, like, up there and you're like, hey, you should go to my show tonight. It'll be fun. I'll be good. Night, you know. And I'm very self-deprecating, so I feel like it would be awkward car rides home because most of my family doesn't drive, so I'd probably wind up having to bring them up. It would be a very awkward conversation to going home when they hear, like, some of the material that I do. And listen, like with most comics, it's an exaggeration of oneself. But, you know, I just feel like it'd be an awkward ride. And I just, again, keep it separate. And keep it separate for now until I'm polished enough where I'm doing more than just, like, 5 to 10 minutes at a show. But, you know, but here's the thing, though. Like, I, you know, and then, you know, just, you know, other people that I could bring up, like, that I could have go. But, like, for example, the one, you know, the one that I've been going on dates with that I've been talking about the past few shows, it's too early to be like, hey, you know, want to go to this show? It's too early to basically be like, hey, yeah, we're doing this, so let me have you go to this, to a bringer, or a pay-per-person show, or a I get paid per person show. It's too early to do that, so granted, it's been a few months in that, and it's gonna be date 5 coming up, actually, yeah, date 5 coming up Saturday, so that'll, you know, but it's still too early. I'm kind of taking this one slow. It's way too early to be like, hey, watch me do comedy, especially because I kind of want to save, wait until I'm, you know, not doing the dating material anymore, because, you know, that would probably also be awkward afterwards. But, and granted, I shouldn't be worrying about that, but at the same time, like, let me just save myself awkwardness outside of comedy and just not bring, you know, have people go, most people go to these shows. But, like, here's the thing, like, and that's the thing, I'm debating, like, do I post the most recent Tierney set? It was a good set. My delivery was much better than the MLR Live set. It had, like most sets, it had its, you know, high points and low points. Most comics do. There's no comic whose set is just laughs a minute. So there's always, you know, the setup set of the low part, and then, you know, I get to the punchline, and they were actually connecting well on this one. They were connecting very well with the audience. So I feel like I should post it, and I at the same time, I'm annoyed with myself that I'm actually giving myself compliments. So, but I feel like I should definitely post it. But at the same time, like, I should post it for the people who live too far. But then again, I shouldn't post it for the people who live too close, because then they'll just, like, okay, I've seen him do his set, I don't have to go to the show. You know, like, just something like that. You know, just something weird like that. That's how I think. Again, I overthink. That's me. That is me in a nutshell, folks. So, there's that. And then I do want to I'm going to talk film for a second, guys. Is it all right? Is it okay, guys, if I talk movies for a second, for a few minutes here? Because I finally, if you guys remember, I actually interviewed a good chunk of the principal cast of this movie at New York Comic Con last year. I'm talking about Return to Nukem High, Volume 1. The movie is phenomenal. Now, all right, if you don't like trauma movies, you're not going to like this movie. Let's just get this out of the gate right away, because it's a trauma movie, okay? And it's actually supposed to be longer, but I think Quentin Tarantino talked Lloyd Kaufman into splitting into two halves a la Kill Bill. But here's the thing. I love the social commentary Lloyd Kaufman has in the episode. I freaking love it. Like, it's a trauma movie, so it's going to be like, you know, it's going to be low-budget horror, weird special effects, like, over-the-top goofy characters, but in a fun way. Like, low-budget horror, gore. It's everything you would love in a trauma movie, basically. So, or that you would kind of find weird and juvenile in a trauma movie. Either way, it's there. And yes, I will point out the car crash scene that is in every trauma movie is also used in this movie. So there's that. Now, one other thing I feel the need to kind of point out here is, let's just say that one thing that I love now. I've interviewed Clavon Carlowitz, Asa Paredes, and Catherine Corcoran of the movie. Asa Paredes and Catherine Corcoran play the main two characters, and Clavon Carlowitz actually plays one of the not two leads, but like one of the like upper supporting cast characters in the movie. He is in it quite a bit, and it was funny interviewing him and then seeing him in the movie. Like, he's like, personality wise, his character is much different than when I was actually talking to him at New York Comic Con. And maybe one of these days I'll replay that interview. Who knows? But we'll find out, you know. Anyway, so we had, we had the movie going through. And one of my favorite things about the movie, which I do want to point out too, there's a lot of social commentary. Lloyd Kaufman is always on point. There's even a joke about Obamacare in there. Like, it's great. I love it. But there's a character. He's a fat weird guy who the stuff that he does, like when he talks to a girl, like it's stuff that would alienate the girl 1 second into him saying what he's got to say. But then he's the guy who will say that, like, yeah, you fucking rich, you rich bitch, want to go out with me? And then she says, no. He's like, oh, all right, why are girls so stuck up to me? Like that guy. That guy that, if you listen to the Nerd Hour, Ariel and I and Cornax have ripped the entire time. The guy who's a complete shitbag to women when he meets them. But then the second they turn him down, they're the asshole. He's like, whoa, why can't I get a girl? Man, why are they so snooty to me? Man. That guy. I love that that type of person got absolutely hammered in that movie. It's, you know, and I like that. There's a lot of things I like about trauma films. So I feel like this movie is highly recommended. But it also, like, thinking about this and just thinking about movies in general, I love a broad range of movies. And I'm excited, too. It's an exciting movie time for me because of the fact that this is one of the two times where Barnes & Noble sells Criterion movies for 50% off. And my collection is very depleted because when I got a car and I didn't have much money, I had to do buybacks and get much less back than what I actually spent for the movies. None of them out of print that I sold. All the out of print ones I still have, because that, yeah, no. So anyway, here, there's movies I want to get. Like, I've got to rebuy Seven Samurai and a couple other movies. I'm going to get the release of Eraserhead, which is a great movie. You know, David Lynch, amazing as always. I'm going to rebuy Videodrome, because again, David Cronenberg. Probably also going to get The Great Dictator and a couple others. One thing I'm also very excited to get. Let's see. I'm trying to think here. Now, the one thing that I do want to point out too, one thing that I'm really excited to get is the complete Jacques Tati box set. For those who don't know, like, if you like Mr. Bean, like, if you were a fan of that, I would say that this is the guy who influenced Rowan Atkinson. I'm sorry. I got a text. I'm trying. Here, don't plan. Don't record podcasts while trying to plan fifth dates out, guys. Let's just say that. But anyway, like, Jacques Tati, like, his Monsieur Halat character, was the influence for Rowan Atkinson to make the Mr. Bean character. Which is great. And just the films are, he only made, like, 5 or 6 films, but they're all just, they're great, and they're, like, especially Playtime, which is very, very experimental. There's very little dialogue, there's very little actual dialogue in the movie, but it's a great just commentary on everything. And, that's a thing, too. Like, I appreciate movies like that. Then there's other ones I kind of want to get to. I mean, I kind of want to replenish my collection, and I think I'm just going to gradually do that per paycheck, maybe get one or two that I had, you know, sold, and then also get some other ones along the way. Like, I'm definitely going to get Wes Anderson movie, maybe rebuy The Fantastic Mr. Fox. That's the thing. I love film. I'll watch pretty much every kind of movie unless there's a reason. I have a legit reason not to watch it. Like, for example, I still haven't seen the movie, a Serbian film. Because the whole controversial newborn porn scenes, that one I still won't watch. I feel like I would be pissed, and it sucks, because I've heard I've heard it's a great movie, but I don't feel like I could sit through that scene and not throw something at my TV, and I really don't want to have to replace the TV, guys. So instead of having to replace the TV, I'm just not gonna watch the movie, or at least not watch it in my room. But that's one movie I want. But then, like, you know, I'll watch, like, Cannibal Holocaust. So maybe my priorities are weird when it comes to movies. I don't know, but there's that. And here's the thing. Last couple of years, I've had a deep appreciation for foreign cinema and independent cinema. It's been great. I still love me my big blockbuster movies. Like, the next 3 movies I'm going to see in a movie theater are all going to be, like, huge releases. I'm going to wind up seeing Interstellar, Big Hero 6, 2 movies I've been excited for, and Mockingjay Volume 1. And before some of you get judgmental, A, I like the movies. B, it's a date. Shut up. I will watch every kind of movie. And then, like I said, the movies that I'm going to wind up buying this week as part of the sale are going to just mostly be foreign and independent. So I really have no consistency when it comes to what films I watch, you know. Alongside that, you know, I don't know, film influences me, like music influences me, comedy influences me. That is pretty much, it's me in a nutshell at that point. Some of my influences, maybe those of you who don't know me that well, or who know me via Twitter, or know me via how I portray myself on radio, you probably don't really know much about me as a human being. So, you know, I feel like every episode I'm going to let you guys know a little bit more about me. So I think the best place to start would be talking about influences, because I think that's going to be a good stepping stone for you to get to know me a little better. You know, I've talked about some of the influences over the times, but I've never really delved into why and what led to that. So I'm going to start with influences. So first influences are going to be comedy influences, because that's one thing. A sense of humor shaped me as a human being from an early age, and I didn't really start showing it publicly until probably early adulthood. So when I was a kid, a comedy, a huge influence. And the earliest influences were like Rodney Dangerfield, and the other one, I know he's not a popular name to say right now, and the whole Cosby meme thing was great, in light of the 13 rape allegations. But when you're a kid, you don't really know about that stuff. And so, when I was a kid, there were a couple movies that I would always rent at the video store. Yes, folks, I am old enough to have been watching VHS. Get over it. But, I had a couple favorite VHSs to rent and watch. The Bela Lugosi's Dracula was one of them. Like, the Universal Monster movies, always. The first Ninja Turtles movie. RoboCop, Ghostbusters 1 and 2, Star Wars, all three of them, and Bill Cosby himself, along with, Rodney Dangerfield movies and old ninja movies and Godzilla movies. Those are all ones that I would always rent and watch. My poor mother, whose birthday is coming up on Monday, so, you know, happy birthday, but my poor mother would have to go back and forth to the video store just so I could watch these movies. Also, the Transformers movie, which, fuck you, Hasbro, for killing off Optimus Prime there. And the G.I. Joe movie, which, fuck you, Hasbro, for putting Duke in a coma and having me as a kid watch that and be traumatized at it. Fucking dicks. But, I would always watch those movies. So, you know, Bill Cosby himself was one that I would always watch and quote. That was when I was a kid. When I started reaching, early teens, preteens, 12, 13, George Carlin became a massive influence. Here's how it started. I don't think I really ever got into this story on air before, but I'm going to get into it now. I might have, in a previous episode of the show, but this is the second MLR show, so if I've done this story before and you've heard it, not everybody who's listens to MLR has listened to this show, but, here's how I got into George Carlin. And George Carlin was really, the actual gateway comic for me getting really into comedy. So one day, me and my friends would hang out at my house because I was the only person whose mom really didn't give a shit about having a multiple amount of people there. So we would do Friday nights at my house. We would watch stuff. And one day, we had one of those purple pan boxes that were popular back in the mid to late 90s. They were descrambler boxes, so you wouldn't have to pay for the premium channels or pay-per-views, because that box would descramble it so you could watch it. And I watched plenty of, and listen, the Attitude Era in my house, watching those pay-per-views was doable because of one of those descrambler boxes. So thank you, person who made that up. And, and what I loved about, what happened, we would always do that. We would watch, pay-per-view movies and stuff on there, but we would watch it. And one day, one of my friends, his name's Eric, he comes in with the videotape, and we're like, what's going on? And he was like, my mom wants, he's like, there's this George Carlin special, and my mom wants us to record it. Now, at that point in my life, I knew him from knew of George Carlin from two places. Bill and Ted's movies, that was the first, he was Rufus in my mind. Also, you know, my sister was younger at the time, so she would watch, like, Shining Time Station. Or my cousin, too, when she was, like, little. My littlest cousin. She would watch Shining Time Station. So, you know, Tom, you know, Mr. Conductor. So, like, that's how, you know. I would say, like, what's Rufus doing in the Thomas the Tank Engine movie is what I would say. So, he was like, oh, yeah, I know this 40 years of comedy special from George Carlin. Like, my mom wants to record it. So he records it for her. And we watched it, like, as it was playing, because we were like, hey, let's watch it. Might as well. This is our thing to do on Friday. Usually we watch movies. We're like, fuck it. We got to record it. That's the VHS that we would normally, the TV we would normally watch movies on. Let's have at it. So, and I don't know. I might still have the cassette. It might be damaged from flooding in my shed. But I think I still have the VHS tape of it, too. But, you know, so we're watching this special. And the thing with the special, too, is the fact that, we this is our introduction to George Carlin. And pretty much all of us were hooked. This was, like, the main four friends at that time. My friends Eric, James, Jason. We were watching George, well, we were pretty much all watching this guy for the first time and watching him do stand-up. And he was, like, we loved it. We all instantly connected with everything on there. The Seven Dirty Words, his whole thing about free speech. Just so much stuff on there that we thought was amazing. Then he got into his whole thing. I think this is when he did the advertising lullaby. That one that was on the, at the end of You Are All Diseased. Now, that was the one that, he did that as the new material before being interviewed by Jon Stewart. But, again, we instantly, and here's how instantly hooked we were on the material of George Carlin. The second we got this into our heads, we were in junior high at the time. We were quoting George Carlin quotes in school the entire time. We were writing George Carlin quotes in our notebook. One of the teachers saw the quotes, like, why are you guys writing this stuff? What are you doing? We're oh no, it's George Carlin, you know? So, you know, that was fun, you know, fun for us. And that got us into George Carlin, which led to me getting into comedy. So you can thank that, folks. So that was the first influence comedy wise. And then as we were going with that, the next one was, from George Carlin and Rodney Dangerfield. The next set of influences, I was into talk radio, like ONA, Howard Stern, like, you know, casually. Like, I wasn't one of, like, a diehard, like, ONA pest. I wasn't a diehard Howard fan. I listened to Howard in the mornings. I listened to ONA in the afternoons and got into the shows. And I got, you know, some of the comics who were regularly on there, one of which being Jim Norton. But I really started to get into these comics when Tough Crowd started. So, like, that's when I, you know, was getting into, like, when I was getting into Jim Norton, Nick DiPaolo, Rich Voss, Patrice O'Neill, Keith Robinson, and so many others. Mark Maron was on there at one point. I think Louis C.K. was on there at one point. Just all these comics, a lot of whom are now, like, big-time favorites of mine. I heard for the first time, Greg Giraldo's another one, but I heard the first time through Tough Crowd. And then I just started listening to seeing their stand-up, like, watching videos of their stand-up and just, like, hearing them on other shows, and it was great, like, getting to see these, you know, and then eventually I started going to shows at, like, comedy clubs to see them. I went to the ONA Traveling Virus, got to see a bunch of them. I got into Otto and George at that point, and it was, fantastic, you know, like, so then I got into Brian Posehn, because I'm a nerd, so his humor kind of connected with me there, and I also love his, like, metal songs that he puts at the end of his stand-up CDs. So, both were good, you know, that was a good time for me, too. Louis C.K. right now, huge influence on me. Mark Maron, big influence. I like Joe DeRosa's stuff, even though that's not a popular thing to say with some of the ONA crowd who might be listening. Joe Rogan, I think, is great. Doug Stanhope, another one. One that I got into way too late, and I feel bad because when I was younger, I was, like, into Dennis Leary and his material. Not as much now after listening to Bill Hicks, but Bill Hicks now is a huge influence on me. Like, and the thing with Bill Hicks material, it makes me want to be smarter as a comic when I listen. But I don't want to be Bill Hicks because Bill Hicks is himself. Like, he's, you know, he is what he, like, and I really, really wish he would have been famous. But, I really wish he would have gotten the fame and not, you know, not died prematurely. because like him and George Carlin are two people that I really wish were alive still, just to see what their material would be like with the shit going on now. Especially because Bill Hicks had zero trust for both sides of both parties. He seemed more liberal, yes, in some of his views, but he seemed to have zero trust for both sides. So I think he's one of those guys who would just be just hammering people regardless. I think he would have stuck to his guns and not sold out and become like the, hey, I'm Bill Hicks, I'm doing family movies now. Like, he wouldn't be pulling that shit. I think he would have still been sticking to his guns. I mean, he probably wouldn't have the legacy that he has now in America. Like his legacy, you know, that's the only benefit for him as far as post-mortem. Because I feel like he'd still be on the road and he'd still be struggling because people would still be just being douches about it. Like, they would still be, you know, then again, who knows? Maybe he would be a hit now. I feel like he might have been just way ahead of his time back in the 90s, late 80s, early 90s, when just people were giving him shit for the views he had. The views he had then would be popular now, which is, like, it's weird. Like, him and Patrice O'Neill, too, dying before they could have become mega stars in comedy. Well, all right, Bill Hicks was a star, Patrice was a star, but you know what I mean, that next level that they could have gotten onto, on the ride, as they call it. The level that, you know, if I ever get to, I'm probably at least 20 years away from being at. You know, like, that's the thing with comedy. It's a long haul. You don't become an overnight success until you're, like, in your 40s. Like, that's what's going to happen, folks. That's, like, music, comedy influences. I'm also very into film. Like, that's one thing I'm going to learn while I'm doing comedy is learning how to make film. And, you know, I've got my very many influences there. Martin Scorsese is a big influence on me. Tarantino is a huge influence on me. Like, my best way of escaping is through movies, you know, and also musically. Like, music is another way to escape just the bullshit that goes on every day. So those are my escapes from everything. Right now, the music that I listen to, the song, like the bands that I've been listening to a lot, Killswitch Engage, All That Remains, Alex is on fire, however you pronounce it. It changes for every fan. Day to Remember, The Acacia Strain, Unearth, the new At the Gates CD is just fantastic. I've mentioned this last week. And those are all, I get influenced a little bit here and there by different bands, and they influence me in, like, a way that it affects my mood, or it enhances, or, you know, gets me over things, or, like, kind of tones me down or pumps me up. Like, it's the best way to do that. Whereas with film, I'm more analytical, and I just kind of, like, disappear into the movie. With this, I disappear into a movie when watching it, whereas with music, it enhances me, or dehances me, whichever way I want to go. So that's always great to have as an influencing force on me. I mostly listen to metal, but I like my hip-hop, you know, like, not a huge fan of Nas. I've been listening to, like, indie rock a little more, not a lot. I'm not becoming that much of a hipster, folks. Don't let the beard, glasses, and scarf fool you, shitheads. I feel like this is a good jumping point to, either you're going to hear me or you're going to hear an interview. That's because I haven't confirmed the plans 100%, but I'm going to take a break. We'll be back here with, by the way, here on More Like Radio with Mike Falcone. See ya.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
You know what, Marie? I was thinking about buying a new sex toy, and I really want to buy one, but I'm strapped for cash. What can I do?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Mitch. If you go to adamandeve.com, More Like Radio has a promo code for you where you can get 50% off your favorite sex toy.
Hold on, are you saying I can get the sexy slave kit for 50% off?
I'm saying absolutely you can get the full-on sexy slave kit. Just use promo code DEALFIND.
So if I use Deal 48 and I get my double Dutch dildo, is that all I get?
No, you don't, Mitch. With your double Dutch dildo, you're going to also receive 3 adult DVDs for some inspiration with that double
Perfect,
Dutch dildo.
Perfect, because I still use a DVD player.
Excellent. I'm glad you do. But not only that, you're also going to get a free extra gift with you, so you'll receive free shipping on your entire order.
It's like Christmas in my pants.
Except you're having it this year.
Saturday's Noon East. Join Halls and Rorschach as they bring you the news you need to get you through your weekend.
Ali, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, Ali, I'm outside right now. It's really blowing hard out here.
Sounds like it. Where are you at? Are you in Antarctica?
Wait a minute, Ali. I see somebody coming toward me. There's a man coming toward me. Hold on a second. What are you doing in my yard? I'm getting too old for this shit. I just want to say that this snowstorm is a bunch of fucking bullshit. I'm going to let you go back in the house, Rorschach, because the sound effect is about to run out.
Hey guys, it's Halls from It's All About Me. Join Rorschach and myself every Saturday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here on More Like Radio.
Yeah, you can't sell Betsy's milk to no one. Absolutely no one.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
You can't sell that milk.
Why is that? Like, I can't sell it.
I got pain. It's all I have. Yo, I got pain.
I got pain.
I'ma smell it. Dude fucking takes the bread, shoves it in her ass, shits it back out, puts it in the case. That's how you wrap the bread. You can jiggle your fist around in there without hitting the sides.
The Orange Room, 9 to 11, Saturday nights on More Like Radio.
You know the way at the start of the last episode, we went through different nationalities, you know, and now people know that we're Irish.
And now people know that we're all shite at accents as well.
But I was wondering, is it prejudice to not make fun of, like, all of the countries?
Where are you going for here?
We'll name check every country on the show, that way no one can be mad about that.
I could do Swedish.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Birdie, birdie.
And to the Italians?
Papa da poopy.
Papa da poopy. Okay.
To the Mexicans?
Hey, man.
Spain? Singapore?
Oh.
Amazing.
Australians?
Crocodile Dundalk.
No.
A big loop, are you?
No, that sounds
that's
like
terrible.
Limerick or something.
That's right, we never slag off the Irish, do we? Someone put a bomb in me potato. There you go. OSW review. All Irish, all racist.
More like radio, less like crap.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy Footer from The Red. Make sure you check us out every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on More Like Radio.
Following Hippo Jew.
We're following an overweight banker? What does he do? Like a Saul Rothstein? Talking accounting right here on More Like Radio.
No. I said Hippo Juice.
Oh, Juice.
Yes.
I know Hippo Juice. They rule. All right, boom. Listen to Hippo Juice. Then listen to us, 9 p.m. Wednesdays, live.
If you're ready for pro wrestling like it's never been seen before, pro wrestling meant for an adult audience, and pro wrestling where nobody says brother or tells you you can't see them, check out Combat Zone Wrestling, the most innovative, high-flying, hard-hitting, ultra-violent promotion on the planet today. Combat Zone Wrestling. Visit us at www.czwrestling.com.
Eddie Murphy with a moment on colonoscopies.
I had a host jump some place in a long time, yes.
Well, Eddie, did a tranny do that for you? I mean, we were talking about trannies earlier.
The tranny was putting a hose in my ass, but the tranny was also a doctor, you understand? So the doctor was putting a hose in my ass, but the doctor happened to be a transsexual. I picked this doctor up on the side of the road. I said, "Doc, you need a ride?" The doctor said, "Yeah, I'll give you free colonoscopy." I said, "Cool." Next thing I know, please pull the tranny doing with a hose in your ass. I said, "Oh, it's a tranny? I didn't realize it was a tranny, so it's a doctor."
So, are you sure this doctor had went to medical school and had a license to perform this?
Yes, I checked her degree.
Oh, okay.
She went to the University of American College School.
I'm not medicine. Sure I've heard of that. I'm not sure that's an accredited
school. Oh, it's
school.
A medicine, though.
I mean, that School up. Of Medicine, yes.
Yeah, it's medicine.
She could have just bought that online, like, from the Philippines and printed it out. I mean...
Was it in crayon again?
No, she got that degree in Thailand, okay? She got it in Thailand.
Oh, okay. Did you enjoy your exam?
It was nice. It was nice because, you know, she jerked me off while she was giving me the colonoscopy. So, you know, I went on both sides. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You see?
I let a transgender chick shove a garden hose in my ass one time. Yes.
But, Eddie, is that similar to, like, a colonic when you had a garden hose
up
here?
Yeah, with a colonic, they put the water on and they wash the insides out and you shit everything out of you. It falls out real quick. All right? What you think they're doing? They're running the asshole by the car wash?
So you had, was this another tranny doctor?
No, this was a regular doctor.
Oh, so you actually went to a medical place.
If this wasn't a tranny, this was just a dude at the car wash. He was washing my cars, washing my Mercedes-Benz one time. I said, "Yo, can you do me a favor? Can you do a quick colonic on me?" And the guy showed a hot garden hose on my ass, wash my ass out real quick with a power cleaner. Yes.
Did it work?
Yeah, it worked great. Shit's still running out my ass, running down my leg 2 years later. Yes.
I don't think that works if it's still running down your leg after 2 years, Eddie.
Yeah, it's called anal seepage.
Oh. Kind of like those chips. They still sell those chips that cause anal leakage.
Yeah, anal seepage chips. Yes, I used to have those. Yes.
Did that cost you your opera career?
Yes. Once upon a time, I was gonna be a big opera singer.
Well, you were a singer. What was your big hit single?
It was called "Party All the Time." I did a song. It was called "Party All the Time" with me and Rick James. Me and Rick James did a song called "Party All the Time." I did a song. It was called "My Girl Like to Party All the Time." All the time, she liked to party all the time.
That's why you wrote it, because your girlfriend, like, was your girlfriend a tranny?
Yeah, she liked to party all the time. She had a tranny. She had a big dick in between the legs. She liked garden hose and ass. She liked all that shit. She used to give me colonoscopies on Tuesdays only because I said I want them on Tuesdays. Yes.
Now, were you disappointed that your musical career didn't take off after this?
Yes.
Tune into the Cousin Joe Show live Thursday night, 7 to 10 on More Like Radio.
Yeah, so, we're back with another, by the way, as we, you know, as we're going here, you know, don't mind me, just, you know, we were gonna do the interview segment here, but, I'll say who was supposed to be the interview subject. It was supposed to be, J.J. Stoner of 360 and 420 fame, but, he wasn't able to make it, so I'm gonna close it out with me yapping like a hen for another, you know, however many minutes. You know, it's fine. I'm good at that, right, guys? You know, you've been listening so far. Hey, so I don't know. I feel like there's a bunch of things I'd probably want to talk about. You know, I'll get into stuff that's upcoming for me as far as like just goofy shit. I'm gonna have along with the Criterion sale that I mentioned earlier. Along with that Criterion sale that I mentioned earlier, I've got three games that I pre-ordered coming out this week, guys. It wasn't originally all three games in the three release dates. That's just how it fucking worked out, which is ridiculous. I put, like, extra money towards some of the games, so I don't have to pay, like, a full 60 per game. But it's freaking ridiculous. Here's what happened. First, I pre-ordered WWE 2K15. When it was supposed on for PS4, when it was supposed to come out in late October, which would have been nice, you know, got that, and then there, you know, 2K is like, hey, guess what? We're gonna push that back to November 18th. Okay, that's cool, but wait, I also put a pre-order for Far Cry 4, which comes out November 18th, and I put in a pre-order for the Grand Theft Auto 5 upgraded version for the PS4, which is also coming out November 18th. Fuck my life with that. So that's you know, here's the thing too, like, I'm still playing Destiny. I was playing Call of Duty Advanced Ops. I liked it, you know, I beat it already. I'm good. I'll revisit it one of these days, but now I've got these three games coming out. I'm barely gonna have the time to play them all at the same time, so I feel like one of the games that I have is gonna be a candidate for a buyback. But for now, I mean, I'm interested in WWE 2K because, I mean, I always get the wrestling games. And Grand Theft Auto 5, I mean, I always have a blast playing that game online. Like that when I had that for when I had the PS3, I would go in that online regularly. I would actually play with one Mr. David Ian, you know, of Twitter fame, and you know, it'd be fun. Like if we listen to him and his brother talk shit to kids. It's probably, dude, it's like when they say in Inglourious Basterds, watching Donnie Donowitz beat up on a Nazi is the closest thing they got to watching a movie or entertainment. That, like, when you're playing Grand Theft Auto Online, that's like the closest thing you have to unintentional to just intentional entertainment in that online mode. It's a great entertaining online mode, don't get me wrong. And I liked it when the game first came out, when I could just do multiple races with Greenway, formerly of Marquette Radio, now of whatever show he does now. You know, we would just do the races for about 4 hours at a time at night, because I was unemployed at the time. And, you know, do those and then level up. And now I'm up to the point where I'm getting close to like a level 20 on online. So I hope that kind of that leveling kind of progresses through. Because I got a lot of stuff. I was one of those guys who was playing the game on Christmas Day when the hackers were hitting up the server and just giving people money. And, you know, what's Rockstar going to do? Ban you for taking money and buying things? No. They're going to ban the hackers. They won't ban, you know. So I got away with that. What I did, though, like, I was kind of smart with it the first time because I got the amount. I spent so much that I got the amount down to a lesser amount. So, and then they just took away the extra money of what I would have had before, but I still kept everything that I had that I bought with that money. So I have like one garage that has just a lot of the souped up cars in that game, which is fantastic. I can't wait to play that again because the graphics are better. There's a first person mode in that one. And then there's WWE 2K15, which, granted, I've heard some bad reviews for the previous gen versions, but I feel like that might just be because it's the previous gen versions. I'm noticing a lot of these sports or sports entertainment franchises that are going to the next gen, they're kind of not giving a shit about the Xbox 360 and PS3 versions. So I'm kind of hoping that the PS4 version of the game gets better reviews and isn't as weird as the, I guess, PS3 and Xbox 360 versions. Because I kind of like some of the stuff they're doing. They're making it a less, you know, more like rock, paper, scissors with the grappling. So, you know, that should be fun, you know. Plus, they've got NXT wrestlers in there, so I get to play as Sami Zayn, Sami Zayn, and not just, hey, create a wrestler version of Sami Zayn. So that'll be fun. What sucks, though, is, like, it's cool, though, you have Reigns, Rollins, and Ambrose as the Shield, but I was kind of hoping you'd get, like, Dean Ambrose with his regular, like, his new current attire, Seth Rollins with his current attire, and their themes. I guess we've got to wait for that until next year when the next game comes out. But I also like the fact that they're bringing the My Career mode in there that they do in all the other 2K games. So that'll be interesting because it actually you're in NXT for that one. But I noticed one thing, though, with when they showed footage of Sami Zayn, they didn't have his music playing. So that would kind of be disappointing if they didn't have like his new Scottish theme playing in there. But it is what it is. You know, we do what we got to do, you know. So that, you know, that's exciting. And I've never played a Far Cry game before. I figure why not start with Far Cry 4? Because apparently the games aren't, you know, they're not connected in the way that you've got to play the previous games to know what the fuck's going on. So like, it's kind of like the video game equivalent of American Horror Story, where you don't really, you can jump on at any point at some level. So there's that. I'm excited for that. I'm excited to get those movies that I mentioned earlier. I'm excited. There's things I'm excited about. There's things I'm not so excited about. I am going to go into this for a little bit. I've been having self-discussions. It's been kind of not a horrible week. It's been a rough week for me upstairs. You know, like, I'm sure everyone's had a week like that where you're like, here's how I was. Monday, I didn't do comedy because I was out of it. I couldn't. And then Tuesday, I spent most of Tuesday in my bed because I just couldn't move. I just, like, physically I was okay. Mentally, I just didn't want to move. So I spent most of the day playing Call of Duty Advanced Ops, finishing up that story mode, and watching stuff on Netflix. Like, it was not a good time for me. I just didn't want to be bothered. I didn't want to, you know. And I just feel like, you ever have that point where you feel like you're going to crumble, folks? You ever have that where you just, like, the walls are caving in, and you're not good. You're not in a good place. I wasn't in a good place most of the week. I was mentally tired. I'm getting bombarded pretty much at my job now. And it's not like, I mean, I know that this is the time where you get bombarded at my job. So it's not like I should be too complainy about that fact, but it happens. But it, like, here's how bad it was getting, folks. Like, I did comedy maybe one day this week. Yeah, one day. I didn't go Monday, didn't go Tuesday, went Wednesday, didn't go yesterday, and not going to probably do any until Monday. So it's going to be a little rusty. Oh, yeah, Sunday. I did Tierney's on Sunday, too, so that made up for the Monday. But now, you know, I'm not going to, like, next week will be a little more loaded. I mean, I was supposed to do comedy Thursday. I kind of backed out. I just wasn't feeling it, and I made a weird excuse. I feel bad. I'm sure the guy who runs the room is annoyed with me now, and it sucks because he was like he's one that was supportive of me, but you know, like I just couldn't do it, and it was snowing. My car's got shitty tires still. I didn't really want to risk that either, but I just couldn't. I just needed another day, and it's a good thing. I mean, like, here's how it's gotten with me, folks, and if you guys asked me this privately, I wouldn't even say it at all, except to a select few. But I was actually looking into, like, a psychologist at some point this week, because it was just getting ridiculous. It's just, on a few levels, my stress level's higher. It's fucking with me creatively. I haven't written any new material in a while, and that's getting to me. You know, my overthinking is getting out of control. I'm wearing myself out with every single thing that's going on in my life, pretty much. I mean, and the weird part is, too, like, for example, the dating thing. I stress myself out tremendously between dates. But when the dates actually happen, I'm fine. Like, it's weird. I'm fine. But, you know, that time between those dates, I just overthink, overanalyze, and I stress myself out. I wear myself out, just like with comedy. When I'm like, am I sucking right now? Am I having a horrible set? Or I'm thinking, am I good enough to do this? Am I cut out for this? I mean, I get people tell me that I'm good, but I don't always agree with them on that one, because that's just how I am, because I nitpick every little aspect of myself. When I do a set, if I do a good set like I did Sunday, I'm not thinking, hey, I did a good set. I'm thinking, holy shit, I forgot this line that would have went over really well with this crowd. That's me in a nutshell, folks, an overthinker who just goes right to the negative, who has just horrible self-esteem. Then for those of you who haven't heard this side of me, hi, how you doing? My name is Mike. But I don't, like, it's been weird for me, you know. There's that. There's the comedy stuff. There's my home life, which at this point I can't go through more than a day without getting hit up for a ride or for something, because people just they don't. I mean, my grandmother, and my uncle have been getting better with the later this week, because I think they sense something, but. I was just like, I can't go more than a day without getting hit up for a ride by somebody. And it gets frustrating. And just other aspects of the house, like, you know, like, it's like, you know, going and, like, here's an example. I haven't shopped at Whole Foods in a while, folks, because because there's been people in my house just going through my food as if my section of the refrigerator is a supermarket. And no one will fess up to it. No one will. I've actually got arguments about it. And it would suck. Like, I don't go to Whole Foods because, like, I'm mad now. I get annoyed now with it being ShopRite food. If I was paying Whole Food prices for food and that was still happening, I would be livid. I would probably cause a scene at this point. I'm trying not to cause a scene, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, there's that. And I'm just, you know, and just other little things. Just, you know, the fact that I'm still here. I mean, I thought I was going to be moving out, and that didn't happen. Just things like that. I just needed a couple of days. But I seriously was looking into, psychology, because I figured maybe I need it. It possibly. I mean, there's some things I could probably look into. Who knows? Maybe stop the overthinking and wearing myself out. I don't know. Can you guys see that I'm kind of stretching time so I can get to an hour for this show? Like, can you guys see that that's going on right now? But, you know, like, that's just how it happened. That's how it went down. You know, if you guys want to comment on this or any other aspect of the show, I want to point out, just tweet me at HipsterPunchy. I don't know, maybe put hashtag by the way, and then just, you know, comment on whatever you hear from this episode. I mean, it's a podcast. I get it. I'd like some listener interaction, though. It'd be nice. You know, I mean, James J, I believe, yeah, James J actually was pretty cool about that, and J.J. Stoner had, you know, gave pretty good feedback about it. But, you know, there are some of you guys who I know listen to the show and don't really give feedback, so I'd like feedback from you guys. So, you know, hashtag by the way, you know, tweet me on Twitters, and for comments on any segment of this show, it would be much, much appreciated. So I feel like I can't really go through this episode without mentioning the picture that's making the rounds on the internet. And I feel dirty mentioning this picture because I feel like I'm not even going to mention the name of who the person is. You know, you know who it is. But someone who's always starved for attention, who's married to a rapper who's also always starved for attention, decided that she was going to take a picture of her, just herself naked for a magazine called Paper. And I'm bringing it up because I just want to point out, people need to relax, all right? It's not the first time you've seen an ass before. Yes, that one is rather large and shapely, but, like, does this person really need more attention? And again, I'm not mentioning the name because what I'm going to do is I'm going to keep the person's name out of my mouth, unlike everybody else who complains about this person having attention and then mentions them by name and puts their name out there. So I feel like I've got a comment on the story, but I'm not going to mention the person who it is. But I think you know who I'm talking about. But that's the thing, like, too many people are making a huge fuss out of the picture, but then at the same time going, why do people make such a huge fuss out of her? I don't know. Why are you making such a huge fuss out of her, stupid? That's the thing. Like, they do that. They want to complain about somebody. But remember, no negative press is bad press. So if you don't like somebody, don't blog about them. Don't talk about them. Just don't give them the time of day. Granted, I say that, but there's a lot of hens who watch the Kardashians. You know, I almost slipped with the name of the show. But, you know, the people who watch their reality show that she's involved in, like, that watch it, and that's how she'll just get attention. But if you don't want that person to be famous, don't give them attention. Stop talking about them. The more you talk about them, the more their name gets out there. The more their name gets out there, then the more money they make off the fact that you're talking about them, just like the people who love them are talking about them. So it makes no sense to keep that person's credibility going, folks. Got me? Yes, listen, the pictures are nice. I do have to admit. Not bad for, you know, someone who's, you know, about to go on the Kid Number 2 with just the most egotistical rapper in existence, the rap equivalent of the formerly tortured artist who now is up, you know, famous and is pretentious. So, you know, there's that. So good luck with that, brah. But, you know, I mean, and now, you know, listen, now MLR is doing a bit about that. They do that. They just like they did with the Cumberbatching, which I think is a good way to kind of latch onto a famous photo and get your name out there. I think it's smart, you know. I know some people in other camps didn't think that was too fun, but it was, I know what it was. It was a way to get your name out there. It's called putting out the brand. And there are some people who might be too cool for the room for something like that, but for fuck's sake, it's a way to get it. Like I said, they're getting their name out there, which is more than a lot of people are doing that are being too cool for the room about that. So, you know, just fucking relax, people. Stop being fucking curmudgeons. And then stop being curmudgeons on Twitter and having to, you know, be offended by every little thing. But hey, you guys are the free speech defenders. But some, you know, somebody says something and you know, you get dramatic. And then all of a sudden it's a big what to do. And now there's 9 people going after someone on Twitter because you know, people can't handle what other people say. You know, that's wonderful. That's, you know, beneficial to free speech, limiting free speech by attacking people. That's just as bad as attacking someone's livelihood, just so everybody knows. You know, and that's my word here. I'm sticking to it. Yes, I literally just used Colin Quinn's closing line from when he would do, you know, Weekend Update on SNL. But again, my name is Mike Falcone. This has been another episode of By the Way. You can follow me on Twitter at HipsterPunchy. I'm going to be recording interviews with J.J. Stoner and D from More Like Radio, and I'm still going to try to get that Brett Druck interview going. So it's going to be fun, folks. It's going to be great. We're going to have a blast. We're going to get through this together, guys. Have a good night. Have a good weekend. Peace.
Thought it's a bullet, makes you fall dead and dead.